So we're on two platforms. Eventually, we're going to get a capture card so I can record actually on Twitch and do Facebook. I'm trying to do like four of them once. Because, you know, like I'm trying to get those search engine algorithms right. Like it'll be kind of stupid, but yeah, it'll work, right? All right, so back to the real formal introduction, I guess, to this podcast. We had a little upset there, but this will be, I think, the sixth or seventh one. You've now been on three of them.
Yeah.
Well, have you enjoyed any of them? Or?
Oh, yeah. They're fun. Love talking about this kind of stuff, always.
Yeah. The reason I keep having you back on is, well, you're in my class, but but a little bromance growing. I feel it. I don't know if you feel it. Maybe just one-sided, but it's easy to relate to you about a lot of stuff in the gym,
because
I feel like sometimes weightlifting or bodybuilding can be too much like of a niche thing, and like you're kind of just like, I have no one else to talk to, right? Like, oh, I just keep looking in the mirror for my abs, but is that all that's to life? Can I talk about someone? Oh, thank you, Chrissy, for watching. Little wave to you. And so first topic we're going to start out with today is, you were in the powerlifting meet that we were in. Unfortunately, your back still didn't feel great. You could only do the
bench
only.
Yeah,
that was okay. You had the bench. You had the best bench only score.
Oh, really?
Because you had the best bench only score technically, right? So you
I'll
won
take that.
so you won that division. For the bench only, you did first attempt was 195, I believe, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, 195. That looked pretty good. Off the chest, a little struggle with the lockout, but that was okay.
Yeah.
And then when it came to,
I tried 225, didn't go well.
That one was a little bit of a misstep.
Yeah.
I had to yank her off.
Yeah.
But when it came to, I think you hit 215,
yeah,
right?
215.
That was pretty nice. Plus, you're also what, like 180 right now? Like
I was 187 at the time.
Yeah, well, at the time, man, it's
gone up a little.
There's been a jar of peanut butter in between, right? You know,
exactly.
I've gained a couple pounds.
Yeah,
but that was really cool. Thank you for JK Training Systems on Instagram. Thank you for watching. Doing the live podcast right now. I'll be on YouTube too at awakengains.com. So the meet went pretty well. We had originally 8 people start, and I think it was ended a lot better than everyone was kind of hoping it was going to go.
Yeah.
Because, John did this cool thing where he did like a spreadsheet on a Microsoft Word. Everyone's total at the end. Which I totally didn't steal it and put at the end of my video. I gave credit to him, don't worry. But, that was a cool thing. So he do like everyone's like Wilkes score at the end with like a little table calculator, and that was pretty fun. But I think everyone had well, I guess I'll ask your opinion, but in my opinion, I think everyone had a really cool time just seeing everyone else kind of trying to PR.
Yeah.
If I can get your little your opinion on that.
It's a really good experience. Kind of like it's almost like extra motivation towards each other.
Yeah.
And I find usually. People find, you know, they crack under pressure, but for some reason in like the powerlifting environment, it's almost like adds to you getting more pumped up towards
that
lift.
Because like just talking about my PRs that day, the squat was unplanned.
Yeah.
355, like I was thinking 335 was gonna be like my top, because I could squat 315 kind of pause, but like that was also like, you know, like that's a training max that was pretty tough, right? Like, it wasn't, like, something I could just, like, do easily. But then when it came to – I also do it – whenever I have someone behind me in the squat rack, I know I can do more kind of thing. Like, you have, like, that mental safety, right? And then when it also comes to – so there's that. But when it also comes to other people watching, it's, like, that little bit of boost, right? So I was kind of expecting there to be some gains, right? But I wasn't expecting that –
that much a jump.
Yeah. It was to be that much of a jump because that was another 20 pounds than I thought – and it looked clean too.
It was well,
You were the one spotting me, you know, give me a little slap on the button, get up there. But that was really cool because I didn't know Adam could squat that much, man.
That was unbelievable. Yeah, that guy's a beast.
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit for our exam last night, but man, he has so much strength.
It's just so
awesome. And his goal was to try and be 300 pounds for meat day, so he tried to eat I think he said 2 full pizzas and 3 liters of Coke that night. And I was like okay, like we should have let him just come in with whatever he wanted. We should let him just be 300, but yeah. Whatever. That was pretty funny. That was his one goal, because he wanted to have the biggest numbers overall. That was his goal. But so if we go do a little recap on the actual scores from the thing, and we have one person watching on YouTube. Thank you very much. So if we do the actual scores from the meet, my best score was 355. My best bench was 225. I don't know what happened with the 235 bench. Because if you look at it, man, like, 225 was so clean, yeah, like, tempo-wise. Yeah. But when it came to 235, I think maybe I started to, like, lose a little bit of concentration a little bit.
Yeah.
And, like, I think my shoulder kind of, like, went this way a little bit. Like, it kind of, went like this. Yeah, like, it was, like, the right spot. And so... It doesn't make any sense, right? I should have been able to get that, because you look at the speed of how much a 225 was.
Mm.
I really should have, but I'll chalk it up to next time, right?
Next time.
That is the cleanest 225 I've ever benched, though. That's good. One time in high school for, like, personal training. Did you ever have personal training?
In high school? No.
Or personal fitness? Like gym class?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, gym class where you can use the weight room?
Weight training class, actually, yeah.
Oh, that's what they called it? Yeah. Okay, yeah, so back with then, I did 225 with... hand wraps on and all this shit, like so much chalk, and like, just got it. Yeah. I felt like the hugest guy ever, but that was a real dangerous time. So, did you feel that the powerlifting meet took too long, or was it just about the right time?
I thought it was decent.
Yeah,
decent timing. Everyone got their lifts in. It was very efficient, you know.
Yeah, Luke was taking forever in the squat though. I'll tell you that much, everyone was kind of just like, hey, so, like, what's the next lift, right? Like, once we were done squatting, I thought he was actually doing his first lift at 315.
Yeah.
But he was still warming up, man.
Oh, wow.
And that was the shitty part, because I was like, you're still warming up? Right? Like, seeing your demise that quickly. Yeah, you're like, huh, he's already warming up with 4.405. And you saw his when he did pause squats of 405, man.
I wish,
right? It's almost like those things where, like, you don't understand, like sure you understand where how much, like, muscle weighs and fat weighs, but he was 10 pounds less than me. His quads looked three times as big, right? And he's also pause squatting 405.
Damn.
Like, what are you gonna compete at that point? But So, to wrap up with the meet, one of the key things I think that was good is it was kind of a good, like, publicity stunt, I guess. Even though, like, a lot of, like, the people who work at the Forge are watching us kind of thing when it came to, like, the squats. That was kind of funny, like, oh, are they going to die? Right? They came to come watch us. But one of the cool things is I think as we've been doing this, it's kind of been bringing in the kind of the culture of, like, lifting, deadlifting, stuff like that. Like, I don't know if you've noticed the gym, but I see a lot more people kind of trying to do, like, deadlifts or military pressing and
I'll just let you. Proper training and all that. Yeah.
Like,
I think, since that, because it was, like, almost like the whole gym became a community at that point.
Yeah.
You know, they're all watching, you know, us kind of, like, motivate each other and everything. And I think that's kind of a good influence to have on the gym, especially because, like, a lot of people go in isolated now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Continuing on that, like, I see a lot of, like, I saw one of the girls who before would just, like, do, like, the machines kind of thing. Like, she's doing, like, military pressing.
Nice.
And I was like,
good for you.
I was like, damn, like, that's the real progress. That's not just chilling in the Smith machine, right? There still is that one guy who wears a belt for the Smith machine.
Oh, is he still there?
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't want to say names, but I'm like, damn, what are you up to? But that's just weird. So the meet went great. I hope for next. I think we're thinking of doing it, like, maybe at the end of each semester.
Okay.
Nice. So maybe, like, three, but not make them all, like, power teams. Maybe one where it's like a strongman kind of thing, like, oh, what's your best military press, maybe how far can you run, kind of thing, like, do like a multi-sport thing, so it's not just like every single time, it's like
not just
bench, squat, deadlift.
Okay, right? That's cool.
But I guess I'll do a little thing for you for the next semester. Say we do it again and your back's not tomatoes.
Yeah, hopefully not.
What do you think? Or what's the best numbers you ever done for
my
for those?
Squat? The highest I've ever gotten was 380. Yeah.
380.
Yeah.
Oh my god, man! I thought you were about to say like 345 or
yeah,
something.
It's weird though, because like my squat is phenomenal. My deadlift is like my worst lift by far.
Don't have any forearm strength, eh?
Yeah, no. Tiny hands too don't help.
Oh, you can't hook grip it. I was thinking about trying hook grip today at the gym. I was like, oh, I'll leave it for my last set of like 135, but I was like, no, I don't want it. Yeah. Like, I just don't want to. So like you don't want to like fail at it, but like hook gripping is so weird,
like
right?
It'll slip. Yeah.
Yeah, like if it's because my hands are also kind of small too. So I tried it at thanks the silhouette. That's dumb. But how you doing, buddy? But I tried hook gripping, but my hands, man, don't fit really. Mm-hmm. Like I even though it's kind of like I watched videos on like how to do it properly, but. Have you ever tried hook gripping?
Yeah, I've tried. I've tried. It's the key word.
Luke made it look so easy.
Yeah.
Because his last deadlift at 525 was hook grip.
Mm-hmm.
And he made it. Boom. I'm like, oh God. But then again, his forearms are huge. So I guess we'll go on to the main topic of today's podcast. There's a kind of a recirculating paper from 2014. Or 2014, I don't know why I said it like that. It's called The Impact of Range of Motion During Ecologically Valid Resistance Training Protocols on Muscle Size, Subcutaneous Fat, and Strength. So, even though I did give you some background on it, I'm gonna say it like it's totally brand new to you, and that no one in the world knows what it's about. But essentially, a research group took two groups of individuals. One, both were technically trained. They weren't like they were specialized athletes or anything, but they at least were trained for around 2 years before. So they spent training for about 2 years. They took one group doing pause essential work. So when it came to squats, bench press, rows, deadlifts, they did pause work. So they just do basically full range of motion and emphasize the pause. And then the other group did quarter squats or half reps, but with more weight.
Okay.
So it's kind of like I guess that that gym bro type of thing where you add more weight and do less reps to try to like isolate fibers. Have you ever heard anything like that?
I've heard people kind of do stuff like a lessen the range of motion in order to keep more time under tension.
Muscle.
Like if you ever see sometimes when someone does dumbbell curls, instead of like going all the way down and flexing the triceps, they just go halfway then back up.
Keep that little peek in the mirror.
I've seen it a lot
on I think it's most popular with the shrug. Like in the deadlift rack, like the shrug, right? Like the idea of like you're loading so much extra weight even though you're doing like 6 inch range of motion. Right, like boom, trying to like do hyperplasia and your traps.
I guess that guy in the gym.
Really?
Yeah. When I first started, I think I'd literally just get a barbell, and I was like that kid using the squat rack for it, too.
Damn. Destroying the racks. Because did you ever get that nice reverb when you rack it with a lot of weight?
You feel the whole thing shake.
I'd bet anyone would do this, but if you did that in like a good life squat rack, well, I think you might get a huge reverb because those bars are like hollow. They're not hollow, but they feel hollow.
Yeah,
I don't know how to experience that.
Even now they switch plates back at my Noakville. We used to have like the actual like iron ones, right?
Damn.
Now it's like the rubber.
I actually kind of like
the rubber
for deadlifting.
Yeah,
not for like squatting because unless I'm doing like I don't do weightlifting squats though, right? Like you see, like on Instagram, you see like those jacked Chinese guys who are doing like those like extreme weightlifting, like they pick it up off the wood, right, and they just drop it when it's so heavy, right, doing like eight plates and shit like that. But that's I guess really cool. But so you have heard about it, and I think everyone's kind of thought of the idea where they can just add more weight but do less range of motion for the idea of kind of like burning in muscle gains or trying to just do more time under tension. So what they did was they essentially outlined that range of motion was the key point for the pause group. Mm-hmm. So they didn't emphasize that any of the people did like 3-second pauses on squats, because these are all people who didn't do pauses before. Like, they didn't do any, like, I guess, eccentric work, really,
okay,
on their squats. So it's not like it's not like you see me trying to go when I'm trying to do a pause squat. But they're pretty much noobs to it. And then the other group was around the same. They're around 19 years plus or minus 2.6, and they measured after 8 weeks of doing the trial. So they did each program for about 8 weeks. If you look in the full paper, I can't actually show it. It's a podcast, right? It's audio format. But yeah, in the whole paper, they outline that it's not like kind of those weird studies where they have people do like a bunch of machine work. It is actual barbell movements.
Okay.
Which I think is really good for trying to make it apply to stuff, because I've seen some weird papers where it talks about like muscle growth, like BCAAs, and only like the leg raise machine for like 40 rep leg raises, and I'm like, how does that apply to me? Like, how could I really assume this is gonna work for me? Right. So I think it has the most kind of carryover. They measured a lot of different things. They measured intramedius thickness, muscle size, the architecture of the subcutaneous fat, and strength. I didn't actually remember subcutaneous fat I was talking to before, but they measured at a 0.05 confidence level, which is really good, because remember that the last time stats, we were on, that little Atkins paper, man, it was all in different p-values, right? Yeah. So it's like, what was really real? Right? Like, did the keto group have like a 70% nausea rate or a 25%? You don't really know. They only say like 35, right? Because they're all different levels. But so they measured that. Let me get do a little cliff notes for you. So they managed here. So on distal and across. Okay, so the cross sectional areas of the muscles was 59% give or plus 15% raise. So, like, obviously there'd be some people who had bigger gains, right? Versus the 16% plus or minus 10% in the pause in the quarter squat group. So for people watching, that might sound a little bit confusing, but in the full range of motion or pause group, on average they gained about 59% of their muscle fiber growth, essentially. So that doesn't really equate to like pounds, right? But we're talking in actual growth. Like, they're not going to just measure people based on pounds of growth, because then you have to go through the whole bod pod stuff, right? So on average they gained 59% more muscle growth, like muscle fascia growth, compared to 16%. And if we do some math,
quite the difference.
that's four times, right? And I guess what are your first thoughts on that?
My first thoughts, it goes to show full range of motion is definitely more important. You know, what's the saying, leave the ego at the door.
Yeah, that is very true. I tried to make an Instagram post about that. Didn't really go well. But they didn't really get that much view on it. Facebook was like, nah. But that is really the important thing, because I think people forget a lot about the actual, like, physics of it, right? When you think about, like, because the whole idea of work, right, is like a biomechanical thing. It's force over distance, right? It's like an energy rating, too. Whole Newton, all that Newton stuff, right? It's all Newtons, right? And so when you think about it, even though you cut off, let's say, 3 inches from a range of motion, like the squat, and the squat's a lot more, right?
Yeah.
You cut off like 10 inches, right? Let's say you cut that off, and you have to double the weight. Essentially, do the same thing. So if you're not doubling it, even if you're adding like 40 more pounds, like, you're leaving like 40% of the work on the table, right? Like, you're not actually doing it. But have you ever had clients where they asked stuff like that, or have they ever had ideas that they don't go all the way or things like that?
Yeah, it's more when they're fatigued, you know, they'll always try to cheat for sure. One really never I haven't seen it really on deadlift, it's like they just let go, right? Squat always. Squat always, it's like they won't go parallel. Like,
yeah, come on. That's really important for knee health, especially, right? Because when you when I first started squatting, I'll tell you this much, I was a squat bro. I was a little bit of a gym bro. I would quarter squat, 100%, really? Like 225 quarter squats, man. And really,
so much tension on your knees.
So much tension on your knees. And I was working full time too, but whatever. But you really don't. I was really uninformed because I was just trying. Like, YouTube fitness wasn't really like a big thing. I think that's been a great thing for telling people, like, hey, please don't destroy your knees squatting. Yeah. But for that, I did that until pretty much I watched like a video on like why you should actually squat all the way.
Yeah.
Right. And then it took me a while. Like, now I'm good at it. Yeah. But
it's like, it's kind of like a pattern that you have to fix. Right?
Yeah, it's,
and it takes a while.
And it's one of the more, I think squatting is pretty much the most complex movement.
Yeah.
Like, when it comes to deadlift, like, sure, there are a lot of cues for it. Like, your lats have to be down, like, you have to have intra pressure, right? You have to have a good leg leverage, but for squatting, it's the most, like...
Yeah, you'll think you're doing fine, and then otherwise...
Yeah.
That's what happened to me. That's how I got the herniation,
right? Oh, really?
Because I didn't... I never used to have, like, the whole butt wink thing.
Oh.
And then...
It just started, huh?
Yeah, and then it just happened, and the more I did it, the more often I squatted, the more I felt it, and then that one day was just like...
Damn. Yeah. Okay. I've had it sometimes where I take a break for too long, and I don't remember how to, like, keep my, like, my hamstrings tight or whatever. Like, I don't remember how to, like, sit down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes I will wink. I did notice that a lot with some of the people I trained this year in that whole You Work It Out program.
Yeah.
They did experience it a lot, but I curtailed it pretty quickly. But that really does suck because it's one of those things you could fix, but you don't really know.
Yeah.
Right? Especially if you're just trying to squat again. But back to say, so... Just in muscle growth alone in their cross-sectional area. And the reason why they're using cross-sectional area is because, well, muscles fibers are very small, right? Like, have you ever seen that photo where it's like, oh, 5 pounds of fat versus 5 pounds of muscle?
Yeah.
It's like, what am I doing, right? Like, what am I actually growing? Like, do my biceps actually look that big? But so they measured that. And then the subcutaneous fat, oh, wow. So 22% plus or minus 5. So I guess... The full range of motion group lost about 3 times more fat doing full range of motion kind of thing. Yeah. So 22% fat loss versus 5 plus or minus 8 plus or minus 2. So, well, I guess the quarter scrub group was pretty adamant on losing 5%. And then the full range, some people lost more. I guess that just pretty much means the whole muscle work thing, right? The amount of caloric energy needed to lift it. Because one thing I'm kind of hoping when I can actually, like, squat 400 is I don't have to track calories anymore. Because, right, it's, like, so much weight movement. I'm hoping I don't have to count calories anymore. So, with that said, have you ever thought of emphasizing, like, say, like, on pull-ups or chin-ups, have you ever, like, tried to emphasize the, like, the pause or, like, the hanging there?
I was actually talking to my friend at the gym today about that.
Oh, really? Okay.
He used to do... kind of not even quarter reps, would be like this, right?
Oh, yeah.
And we talk about the cues for pull-ups and stuff and how for he lets himself hang right at the bottom, right, for like 2 seconds. You still have your shoulders retracted, of course.
Yeah.
I know some people like doing it the other way and like going full
tilt.
Yeah. But, we kind of talked about how important not only the pause, but really especially stuff that's body weight, like eccentric, is hands down, people don't understand like how important that is. Like, concentrically, right? Think of that as the number one.
Mm-hmm.
And eccentrically, you're 1.4 times stronger than that. So.
Oh yeah, that is true, right? It's because you have those muscle spindles, right? The Golgi organ. Like, exactly. It's telling you, like, hey, boss, like,
what are you doing? Yeah.
The weight's falling. We need to make sure we don't die. Yeah. So, you were talking about him with the pause and. I was always really bad at chin-ups. Like, I'm still kind of bad, but I would always try to just get reps of it, right? Like, I wouldn't actually do, like, pause reps. But now that I've done, like, hey, wait, do the full thing. And, like, before, I could only get, like, one rep. And that was really ego-sad, right?
Same,
so, like, you're squatting, like 225, but you can only do one chin-up. Right? Like, you can only do one.
Yeah.
And that's one of the more, like, ego-in-check things. But with the pause... Even though, like, I can do, like, 3 whole ones now, I feel like there's so much better quality reps. Because a lot of times when I would do, like, the half reps, I'd always feel like I'd just be so tight.
Yeah.
And, like, you keep, like, you're forcing a lot of tension on just the major muscles, right?
Yeah.
So your little ones always just just they're being forced to just to move, right? Have you ever felt that?
Yeah. I guess another way to explain it, I don't know if it said is tonic muscles or tonic muscles, tonic muscles. The ones that kind of help assist in some of your movements, right?
Yeah.
So if you're not efficient at a movement, I find like a lot of the times that will get more involved.
Okay.
So, for example, someone that doesn't use enough glute activation in a squat is okay. Like their lower back is going to try to take over more.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So, it's really just practice of form. I know what you mean, though.
Yeah.
Like that tight feeling. Yeah.
Because I guess it was pretty bad because my shoulders have always been like this either it's hot or it's warm, hot or it's cold thing from baseball. And like now they're good. Even though today, like I was kind of military pressing, I felt the shoulder kind of be like a little less than par.
Yeah.
So I only did like one rep of like pausing today on bench, and I just did like a bunch of 135 because like I'm gonna hurt it kind of thing. Like I knew it.
I know what you mean. You could sense it.
You could sense you're like, okay, let's turn it back a little bit. I think it's just because I've been so much squatting and whatever other shit, right? But the tonic is a really important thing because I think probably in this group, I am just inferring from this paper. Then outright say this, but I think with the full range of motion of the pause group, because they emphasized the full range, they probably had a greater long-term muscle carryover in the 8 weeks, right? Because you think about it, like 8 weeks of like quarter reps, like what is that? Like what? I don't
what's
know.
That
like
do?
Yeah, what's that gonna do? Right? Like, I always liked. I think of it kind of like cheat reps, but went off of bench, sitting. Okay. Like you know, like you do like fat. Like there's a bench behind you when you squat, and you sit down on it, and you go back up.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like that's kind of cheating.
Yeah.
So I only ever do it like a little bit.
Yeah.
Or like fast days.
I used to use the box under me.
The box squat. Box squat. That's what it is.
It's kind of in a way. It's kind of like. I see the benefit of it. It's like it teaches you, to sit actually when you squat, because a lot of people don't have that. What's the word I'm looking for? The biomechanics.
Yeah.
Part, right. Yeah.
The mind muscle shit.
Yeah,
right. The exactly the blueprint muscle. of a muscle spurting some HK stuff. But oh wow, a degree came in handy. But I think that was the really, really big thing with the clients I was training was I kept saying sit down.
Yeah.
Just sit. And like you kind of go
like,
what do you mean?
Back and
like, what do you mean, just sit? But it was kind of cool. Hit the one guy's goal was to squat 135. By the end, I was like, that's a little much.
Yeah,
like you can just squat the empty bar right now.
Yeah,
barely, right? Let's not go for 135 and be a young YOLO. But he did great. Honestly, he could squat 80 pounds at the end, and it wasn't terrible.
Nice.
All yeah, right. And it was kind of a pause too. Like every time I tell him, like you pause that. Like I would never, when it came to bench pressing or military pressing, I would never tell them, like, come halfway down and press it. I was like, you bring it all the way down, you pause, and you press it.
Yeah.
Right? Because it takes away, like, math-wise, whatever, it takes away the inertia, or it emphasizes the inertia.
Right.
When you, especially on the bench, pausing, because gravity is directly coming down on you, and you're just, you're letting it take it, and you go... Right, you do the full thing. But so let's see what else for the study. So they had greater subcutaneous fat loss, determined skeletal muscle parameters measured in the group, and we demonstrated that here there should not be compromised. Okay, so basically their findings at the end, which I guess is pretty great, is we demonstrate that range of motion should not be compromised for greater external loading.
Right.
So pretty much don't sacrifice the rep for extra weight.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's really important on the heavy stuff because I think you've perused Instagram, right? Where you see like videos of squat fails or like gym fails.
Yeah.
Some of those make you hurt.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know if you've seen the one with the guy with the hook gripping on the bench and then it slips. It's like 400 pounds.
Oh, the 500 pound one?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Man, that was a. He made that noise too when it fell.
Yeah,
that was
like he's dead. Like that's it.
He got like a collapsed rib cage from that. What happened is I guess that bar had been used for like 700 pound like rack pull or something like that. So it was bent a little bit.
Yeah.
And when the bar is bent, and it's like that, it has a tendency to roll. And so it rolled out of his hand because it was bent. And because the first rep, he got it, right?
Yeah.
Clean. And then all of a sudden, it fell. And you can't control it, right? Because your thumb's going to go, you're not going to be able to hold all that weight. And that was pretty
scary.
That was pretty scary. Here's a little pro tip. Don't bend the bars. Unless it's your own bar.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Then bend the shed, right? But so I guess that's a really good transition. I'll start with mine. My most cringiest moment in the gym that I can remember is trying to do Smith machine squats, and then just the fact that I knew everyone was looking at me, right? Because when you're first starting at the beginning, you're like, I'm just gonna do the easy thing, right? Yeah. I'm gonna do the Smith machine, but and it never felt right to me,
really,
right? Yeah. I was a total noob at squatting though, right? But it always felt like I was just trapped, in that one spot, right? I was like, I can't move, like I don't get it. So that was my cringiest moment, and I guess it. Well, I guess it might be my second one was I tried to do, what was it? I tried to do dips for the first time, and the little quarter range of motion, right? You're just trying to. It's so difficult trying to learn how to do a dip first, right? If you're not good at push-ups, because it literally feels like you're ripping your shoulder.
Yeah, it's so
hard. Like, it literally feels that. So, I guess, what is your most cringiest moments in the gym?
I got it.
Okay, all right.
First time I tried to deadlift. That was beyond, probably, like, one of the biggest. If you had to film it, it could have gone viral for worse.
Did you have a
form ever?
Did you have a cat back, like a whole round thingy?
Was so bad. One of the personal trainers at the time, because I think this was back when I was just a co-op.
Okay.
At Good Life, and one of the personal trainers came up to me while I was doing that. He's like, "What are you doing?" So he had to show me the whole cue of pointing your butt back, trying to reach the wall, right? And ever since then, it's like that's like one of my major cues.
Sit, boy, sit. Right, but that is pretty funny. I always whenever on Instagram, right, you always see videos of people doing weird lifts, like Elge Intensity does. Have you ever seen that channel on YouTube?
No.
Elge Intensity, he does a really funny job at doing like fail videos for like gyms. So you'll see people taking like the lap pull down machine. And then just doing the two cable crossover.
Oh, okay.
And then they're just doing weird exercises and then just like there was one where like the guy would like let himself fall and I've then push that, himself up. Like some people figure out the craziest exercises, but I don't get what they do. I don't get it. So that was a little transition. Let's get over the next topic. So, talk about your back rehab. So let you go it.
I had a lot of, for me, it was, you know, Athlean X.
Yeah.
That guy was like my doctor.
Did he say he saved you?
Yeah. Cause like when I went to a sport medicine doctor, right. And they were like, man, it might be like a while. So you should probably like maybe not. Squat or deadlift, you know, just
you should amputate.
You know, they're basically saying like altogether, you know, not stop going to the gym, but it's like we highly advise if you want to get better, just stay away from working out.
Like, one little butt wink.
Yeah, and it wasn't even like a severe herniation too. I think when they told me it was like I think L5 and then S1, right?
So right at the bottom.
And it's like, as we learned in human performance, right? It's like the higher up the spine, the more severe the injury is. So it's like mine wasn't that severe at all. In fact, it was like not even that big of a, the bulging disc. So I went to Athlean X and it was like, first thing was how bad is the herniation and what direction is the bulging disc, right?
Okay.
So for me, it was like, I find I could extend, but I could not flex at all.
Really?
Like, yeah, it was so bad. My friends had to like help me get out of bed and stuff for a couple of days. Yeah.
Damn.
It was, so decompression was like a really good thing. Just literally hanging from a pull-up bar, And then what I knew I had to work on, because I knew it was a weakness before, was glutes. Because when you get any type of injury, right, it's usually because of an imbalance,
yeah,
whether it be above or below it. So I knew it was like, okay, I either got to work on kind of like my upper back, which I know is fine. I always do enough
back. I sculpt that.
Yeah. But I knew I was like, glutes, I like hardly ever worked on besides my squats. And even then, it was like I never did any isolation movements for it. I never, ever do hip thrusts. So I worked a lot on that. That's why you see me doing the, the lower back extensions.
Oh, okay.
A lot now. I do that like 3 times a week.
Damn.
Yeah. Just started with the hip thrust. I really don't like those.
You mean the one with the barbell?
Yeah.
And like, it feels so weird to me.
It does.
Like, I've seen like a lot of like girls on Instagram are doing. Yeah. There was one guy at the gym one time. It was football. He did like 4 plates.
Really?
And I was like, damn. I was like, what the hell? Like, how is that even possible, right? But it feels so odd to me that I can't really do it.
Yeah.
Like, what I do is I just do like body weight before I deadlift kind of thing, like 10 reps on the floor. It looked kind of weird, but I don't know, man. It just feels so.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
It feels really uncomfortable for me. That's the one thing. But yeah, once I got past kind of like the, okay, just do it.
You know, get better. Just do it, you beta. There
yeah.
you go.
Yeah, it was like, I think it was probably like 6 weeks till I started deadlifting again. Because I remember I tried getting back into it.
Okay.
I felt it. I was like, okay, no, we're not doing this. So I took a few more weeks off of that, just doing the same decompression and working on a lot of glute isolations. And then I think it was 4 or 5 days ago, right?
Okay.
I was like, all right, we're gonna try again.
we're gonna try it again. All right.
And it went amazing. I was like, oh, like most of the strength was still there.
Yeah.
Felt no tweaks, and then I deadlift today as well. Everything went fine. So.
Athlete yeah. next stage of your life.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go. You can give him a little virtual tip jar.
Oh yeah.
Even though the man's probably a millionaire by now, I'd assume. I mean, he has probably like the most. Well, he's almost at 1 million subscribers, right? I think he's probably going to be like the first, well, Six Pack Shortcut was. Remember him?
Oh, yeah. What was his name?
Mike Chang.
Yeah.
Mike Chang, yeah. It was Mike Chang, yeah. He was the first guy to hit 1 million, I think. Damn. Wow. And then I think he sold his channel to someone else. Mm-hmm. He left. And then that channel dissolved again into like Six Pack Shortcuts for like the Elderly or something like that.
Oh, wow.
And then it kind of just fizzled out. But he left at the high point, man. Like, he was selling like supplements, workout advice. I mean, he had like those infomercials, right? Yeah. The Chinese Secret to Getting Abs. Remember those?
Yeah.
That was great marketing. But I'm really happy for your back. A couple of things you said. For glutes, I've always had a fear of doing more glute work because I already have a big butt, right? Because I don't want to buy more jeans. Yeah. I guess maybe that's my thing, but I think all the emphasis of like pausing now has really just defined my butt more, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, plus, I'm also losing weight, so it's not like I can really like gain more mass on my butt. But glute work is super important for long-term health.
Yeah.
Because, like, even some people I know who have had internal problems, like, with their feet, like, they walk weird, doing glute exercises, right, it'll naturally pull your hips a little more open so you can walk fine. And
it's crazy, all these little things.
And I feel like as I've gotten more into, like, fitness, I've kind of made sure I do these little things.
Yeah.
Because, like, now when I go in the gym, the things I really want to do are squats and chin-ups.
Yeah.
Those are the things I'm like, if I don't do that in a day, I feel like I'm not really progressing.
Yeah.
Because I want to do dead hang chin-ups and I want to do pause squats.
Yeah.
So that's me right now. But one of the things you said, you were talking about how I should have wrote that down. maybe next time I'll have a little notepad here. But talking about the glute stuff, the muscle. So what I really like about what Athlean tells people, right, is he does it from like a physiotherapy standpoint.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's really important for actually teaching people what happens with the whole muscle anatomy. Yeah, like the
understanding.
Yeah, because a lot of it, and I guess we're going to segue into another topic, a lot of it gets a little bit too much overcomplicated.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like he does it in a digestible way that isn't like you're dumb.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Like, have you, there was one video where, like, I guess I'll say in general, I don't really want to say names because I'm too small, right? But there was one video where this guy was talking about how the leg lift, like the leg extension machine, is like the best for isolating the leg muscle because...
the quads?
Yeah, the quads. The quads, yeah. Best for, he said leg muscle. He said because the upper and lower leg, he was defining it like this, the upper and lower quad is more activated based on this, and it has less shear on your knee because of the angles. I'm not going to say names, but I don't think he's around anymore. I think he kind of like faded away after that, but even looking at like a biomechanical standpoint, putting weight right here for a knee is like really weird, right? It's really weird because there's all this tension, like the lateral fascia, right? Yeah. Just trying to force all that weight up,
the meniscus and all that.
Yeah, meniscus. Yeah. Yeah, they start to go like, hey, like, because it's a weird spot to put force, right?
Yeah, it's not like, supposed to be that.
It's a weird spot because. The lever arm is all the way at the bottom, right? So it's more difficult.
Yeah.
Like, if the weight was right here, it'd be easy.
Yeah.
But since it's all the way down here, the lever arm is more intense. And for the knee, that is like a hinge joint, but it's a hinge joint based on a ball and socket at the hips. Yeah. It's not supposed to just take on weight, right? So when you kick a tree, your leg breaks. Unless you're one of the Muay Thai fighters. You've seen those like Bruce Lee movies. I really want to try and watch those again. They keep kicking trees to keep strengthening the knee. Jeez. Those are goals right there. So I guess we're going a little too complex. So have you ever seen with your clients people ask like theoretical questions on like, oh, like what are the best ways to blast my biceps? Or what are the best ways to... destroy. I love when people say, I want to destroy my tries. I want to destroy my muscle. So,
when they say that, it's kind of like, I don't want to be that guy to, you know, go in on them and just,
you don't want to bring up debate.
Yeah. So what I usually do is I just give them what they want. Right? So, I had this one guy in high school, this was in the weight training class.
Okay.
I was like, man, give me that Javon bicep workout. Okay, I'm gonna give you that bicep workout. What I did was, I think I supersetted rope, hammer curls, dumbbell curls, and don't go all the way to the bottom. So it's kind of like partial.
Okay,
right? More time under tension, and I made him do drop sets too for the hammer curls. So it's kind of like,
so you died.
Yeah. It's kind of like, if they ask for that kind of stuff, instead of, you know, if they ask to be educated, then it'll be like, I'll talk with them. But if they're just looking for a hard workout, you know, destroy a certain muscle, it's kind of just give it to them.
that's a really good perspective on it, because I think it gets a little bit too much marketed towards, like, you need to destroy your body, right?
Yeah, which is often they overtrain.
Yeah, which is a really weird thing to say. Like, why do I want to go to the gym to just destroy my shoulders? I had a shoulder destruction day.
Yeah, it's like, right? You don't need to go to the gym to do that. Yeah, just like, break your arm at home, man. Like,
break your arm at home. just stub your toe really hard and just fall. There you go. Let yourself go. But I think that's a little too, because one of the things that was asked, I got asked in. A comment was actually on the YouTube was someone asked why don't I bench wider, and they gave me like this really like theoretical question. It was like, well, since it can build more chest muscle, shouldn't it be then more optimal for like a strength way, or shouldn't it also be more like I guess he said like strength for the actual movement overall. And I'm like, well, If I didn't want to go like ham on the science, right? It's like, well, even if it does like isolate the chest more, the bench press isn't a chest only movement. Like,
other
like honestly, I think the most important part of the bench press is your forearm to your shoulder, right? Your scapular stabilization, because when you bring that weight out, and if it feels too heavy, you will not press it.
Exactly.
You will drop it. So I was kind of going, I was like, well, it's, let's say I'm sport specific. Mm-hmm. Let's say I'm just doing like the bench press for the bench press.
Not powerlifting, right?
Sure, I could go wider to lessen the range of motion, but I'm trying to get like the most out of it overall.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. Like I'm not trying to isolate my one chest because, well, I'm doing dips too. Like I'm doing military pressing. Like it's getting carryover. So, I think like those like hypothetical situations are cool for like specialized programs.
Yeah.
But like general physical work, right? GPP, it's like
get the full range of motion. Just do the work.
That I guess it's kind of cool. I guess I made it pretty complicated, that question, right? So have you ever, I guess you have a complicated lifts, Bulgarian. What's your first impression when someone says, have you ever tried Bulgarian, bro?
I've heard of kind of like the German thing, the German volume training. I don't know.
Oh, you're going to die.
Yeah. I think it's like, what, 10 sets of 10?
Right? Oh, man. German volume training. Like, if you're talking about, like, I guess I'll talk about what true Bulgarian is. It was invented in, like, World War II-esque era, right? When, like, they wanted to be the best people at the Olympics kind of thing. Like, the Germans. So, they basically did was they excelled exercise science.
Okay.
Like, 40 years ahead in, like, 2 years. Because they were literally having people just like, we need to figure out how to gain muscle and strength, because they're gonna, because we want to be the best ones, right? Of course, they're all on drugs too, right? Yeah, so that's why, like, Bulgarian, like true Bulgarian is, you go to the gym 3 days a week, okay, but you go for like 12-hour sessions. What? Yeah, like literally, you spend 40 hours in the gym that week. Like you don't leave the gym pretty much. Like you just stay there and keep, or like you do like one rep, you stay there for literally, that's why people won't do like, yeah, look at your face. Your face is like, like what? Like that's like, what is that? Like, but like you literally, you live in the gym because they don't want you to like, be, it's the idea of minimalizing all outside stresses so that you only, the only stress in your life is picking up the weight.
Okay. That's cool.
So like when they say like, you can't have a girlfriend. Like you can't have family problems right now. Like something happens in your family
doesn't exist.
Yeah, the gym is the only thing, right? Like the next 3 years going to the Olympics, you're just in the gym for 3 years. Okay,
nice.
You go outside when it's the Olympics. Okay, but it's that kind of mentality because, and it was really effective. Mm-hmm. Usually is pretty effective, but when people do like Bulgarian, like a like Dom or Luke, they do a hybrid version where they can survive.
Yeah,
right. Like it's more like lift specificity. So they'll do like a lot of like singles at like AMRAPs or whatever. Like they can't like curtail it. They don't do 12 hours.
Yeah.
Do you think you could survive?
No. Straight no.
Doesn't even answer. But what's the longest you work out for? Like, longest? If you really went balls to the walls, how long could you work out in the gym before you were just like, I gave up?
2.5 to 3 hours. That's if I'm doing like both weight training and then cardio right after.
Yeah.
Damn.
I was gonna say 20 minutes, but I think the longest I can go now before I actually just like lose focus and get like too hungry is 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But the, now I do my workout that was before like 2 hours in like an hour and 30 minutes. Yeah. So I'm pretty happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't looked at a lot of like, I've seen a lot of anecdotal stuff on Bulgarian and like the methods, but it's obviously like a time proven thing. But a lot of people have gained like unreal, like 100 pounds, like even in like mature lifters, right? Like Dom, like he had an accident I think like a while ago where like he hurt like his hamstring.
Mm.
He didn't squat for like 3 months, but now he's back to like 460.
Wow.
Right. Like he's a crazy guy, right? But in Luke, he's pause squatting 405, and I think that's a little ridiculous. I'm gonna demand he never does that again in front of me. But what's the most, like, in a training, like, have you ever trained for, like, strength?
Trained just, like, just for...
Just for getting your numbers up.
Yeah, for sure. I'd say after grade 12 was really, because that was when it was like, I want that 225 bench.
I need it. Yeah. I need it. So in let's say in a given time, I'll let you do pick any amount of time. What is the fastest you've ever increased a number? Like how much have you, like let's say 4 months.
Okay, yeah.
Or 3 months. Whatever, like, you know, like, well, I've worked out for, like, 3 months and I got this much.
I think probably squat. Yeah. That one was, like, yeah, last year was when I really focused on squat. I remember that. I think I started 315 when I came. And then by the end of the year, I had 385. So,
damn. So, 8 months.
Yeah.
8 months, 70. Ha damn, right? That's at least 10 pounds of actual 100% total every month, which is really damn good, right? It's really damn good. But imagine if you did Bulgarian for that time, you'd probably be squatting 500, right? But that's real hypotheticals. There's actually a really cool question that someone posed to me. It was from Jason Blaha. Mm-hmm. He said, so... You know how I tell you all these benefits of Bulgarian, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's say in hypothesis you were in prison, okay. And the only way for you to get out was if you had a 500-pound squat.
What prison?
No, it was like a hypothetical, right? But and okay. You were only allowed like 4 meals. This is like a fun thing. You're only allowed 4 meals. What would your 4 meals be? And what would your training style be to get out of that gym in, like, let's say, I want to get out of there in 2 years. I want to get out quick, right? I don't want to be in jail for the rest of my life.
At that point, health out the window. It would just be, like, all calorically dense food.
I just want liquid burgers.
Yeah, that's it. I'd be like, get those calories in, grow. Yeah, just get that strength.
It was funny because the one guy in the comment was like, he's like, I would literally spend either my day lifting or rest.
Yeah.
Like, lift or sleep. Yeah. Lift or sleep, right? And, like, he's like, man, I would just go balls to the walls and do full Bulgarian, right? Yeah. Like, I'm in jail. Like, I get to go to the gym, right? Yeah. But, like, there's nothing. I don't want to be here.
Yeah.
And, like, people are saying, like, oh, like, and, like, you think about it, like, oh, let's say, like, situation came to me, right? I guess I really didn't care about the food, but let's say I could do it in, like, a year. Or a year and a half, and you think about that, you're like,
yeah.
If I really put like all the pieces in place,
it's possible.
I could get monstrously strong, right? But that can't really happen because life is in the way. You have all these other stresses, right? But I think it was a really cool like hypothetical situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you've probably never heard of that before.
Yeah, no, that was a new one.
Yeah, that was a new one. But I kind of like that. It's not like one of those like would you rather things, but it's like
How would you accomplish?
Yeah, how would you accomplish? If you were on a stranded island and there was no coconuts to live on, how would you get food?
I don't fish, so that would be an issue.
Get a spear. It's actually really hard to pick up a fish. Yeah. It's actually really hard because they just keep swimming around.
Use that hook grip.
Yeah. Use that hook grip the fish, yeah. But that was cool. So I guess we're going to get to the end. Oh, this is a funny one. I kind of stressed about it there. What are your favorite, like, gym bro science or, like, gym myths? Maybe I'll start with mine. A guy last year told me that glutamine helps tear down the muscles, and that's why it's so effective for building muscle.
Really?
Yeah. He was so adamant that I was honestly perplexed.
Yeah.
What reality was, because I'm like glutamine. He's like, amino acid.
Yeah.
He's like, BCA, right? Like a glutamine, like glutamine supplement. I'm like, okay. How does it tear down muscle? Like, think about the words you just said, right? Like,
literally something that's supposed to be for the opposite.
Protein synthesis. It's supposed to like, isn't it like a shuttle for like a protein or something like that? Yeah. Like, isn't that, I think that's what glutamine is supposed to be like, but like, oh, well I can just, you know, tear down the muscle, right? Again, the marketing, tear it down, right? Destroy the shoulders to facilitate muscle growth. But I was like, what do you mean? Like, you think Olympic athletes taking glutamine to get their edge? like if the supplement was so good at doing what you said, it would be banned. let's be real, like creatine does add like a 5 to like 8% benefit. People who are effective for it.
I was trying to argue that with my kin teacher. He did this research thing on creatine. He's super against it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it does have its benefit though, for sure.
Yeah, like it's 33% of people are non-responders because they have like naturally high levels of creatine phosphate or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like it's especially potent in vegans because they don't eat any creatine, right? But even before that, so it does add like a 5 to 8% boost. Yeah. But like, I'm also not a fan. Like, here's my bro science of like doing it for too long.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I feel like you kind of retain too much water, and then you kind of get like this weird like. I guess I got into fitness when everyone was about cycling things.
Yeah.
Because like, remember that? Like in YouTube, everything was about like. Cycling your supplements or your drugs, right? Yeah. And now everyone's like, oh, I just do like a gram a week for a whole year. Yeah. Like, no one cycles off anymore.
Wow. Yeah, I remember they have it on the containers too most of the time. They're like, if you're just starting, cycle this for like, I think it's what, 4 weeks?
Right? Oh, yeah.
No one does that.
No one cycles anymore, but this girl, I want the full thing. But yeah. I actually never did the creatine loading phase.
Yeah.
Or it's like you take like 20 grams at once.
Yeah.
Literally for me, it was half a scoop. Like 3 grams of creatine.
Wow.
And I could already feel the effects. And like literally I'd have to go in like micro doses because like I'm kind of weird where I can like, I think I have like a strong like connection with my body or whatever, however I want to say it. Like one time I had a really fatty pancake. Like my dad made Father's Day pancakes and they were really oily. And they're really, like, buttery. But I was vegan. But I was like, okay, I'll do it for my dad, right? It's just, I'm not going to say no on Father's Day, right? I'll do it. And, like, literally, I felt my body, like, slow down. I was like, everything came to, like, this halt and stilt. And I was like, I need to drink water. I had to flush it down.
Really?
So, damn. But so I've had those same, like, feelings when... That's why I don't want to try coffee.
Yeah.
In pre-workout. I really don't want to do Red Bull. Mm-hmm. Or just drink a Red Bull because... I know that little increment of things make me go like hot wire. And so, well, we really got crazy off there. So that was my gym myth, I guess. Do you have one? Have you ever heard one?
I won't say his name, but yeah, this one friend, he's really into like supplements right now. He's getting into almost like really dependent on it, you know?
Oh, okay.
And he was like, oh, I'm off my BCAAs right now, but you know, once I get it back on, I get that protein synthesis, I'm just gonna get fucking huge. I'm
fucking like, shredded,
yeah.
Bro.
Like, alright, yeah, alright. It's kind of like, the myth, I guess, is really just like dependence on supplements.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
It really comes from like a fear of loss standpoint.
Yeah.
Because, like, here's the thing, right? Let's say you worked out for like a year without taking supplements, like you gained a lot of muscle, right? Cause at your beginning years. But, like, it does slow down. I think that's when people go, I need the supplements to get me back to that progress. Because it's like, I made so much progress back then, but I'm not making that much progress now. Mm. I need the supplements to pull me back in. But then they're also supplements.
Yeah.
They supplement. They don't fix, right? Like, unless you're just like a deficiency, then you take, obviously, like, no doctor's ever going to say, hey, Javon, you have an iron deficiency. I want you to eat 4 pounds of steak a day.
No.
He's going to say, take the iron supplement and try to eat some more iron.
Exactly. Like for me, I have really, really low, I don't get enough, potassium.
Oh, really?
So that one, like I have like low potassium pills that I always got to take. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Bananas.
Yeah,
try dates. They're a lot of calories.
Yeah.
They're a lot of calories, man. But so
this past week calories are going up, so that's fine.
Well, it's a cheat week.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a cheat week. Don't worry about it. But I guess you could feel stuff. I don't know. It's really bro sciencey, but it's kind of like, I guess that's how I feel with stuff. But like, one shake when I used to have shakes was dates, bananas, and kale. Wow. And bro, like seriously, when the dates are just like juiced up like that. Like, you honestly feel this rush of, like, potassium and all this. Just like, I can conquer the world. And then 30 minutes later, you're like, I got a shit. Like, all the fiber just gets to you.
Yeah.
Have you ever had Life Water? Like, those vitamin waters?
Vitamin water?
Yeah. I guess here's a little story. There was this brand in the U.S. called Life Water.
Okay.
It had a little chameleon on it. And it was owned by... Pepsi and whatever, they own everything, okay? They own every drink, pretty much.
Okay.
It was like the beginning ones of Life Water. And literally on the bottle, man, like every single nutrient was like 400% of your RDA. And literally, it was so much more potent than the other ones. Like the Vitamin Waters we have now, it's like 100%, 50%, right? Literally, when you would drink it, I felt like I got so messed up. Like,
do they still have it?
No, it's gone. It's off the shelves, man. It's so sad. And then they came out the second version. It was like bad. Like, the only reason I got it was because my stepdad would go to the States sometimes and bring it over. Wow. And it was like literally... it was actually like crack. Even though I've never had crack, it's like... you would feel so hyped up. You're like, oh. But then you'd crash. You'd crash right out because you're like, man, like...
that was a lot.
I don't know where to take all this energy. But it was great. So do you have another gym meth or...?
No, that's probably about it.
Really. Yeah.
Supplements, yeah.
I think people's... I haven't heard a lot of, like... I guess the main ones I see in the gym are glutamine and BCAAs. Mm-hmm. Like, I think people overdo BCAAs a lot.
Yeah.
Like, how really important it is. Because, well, it is just protein. Like, it is... like,
yeah.
I've seen a lot of... like, one video that I was working out before the whole exam week came. I had to stop. I was writing a script over it. It was for BCAAs. And they were talking about, like, this... I actually read, like, 7 studies that, like, special... bodybuilding websites talk about, right? And they would say as the potent benefits of BCAAs, right? And they would say, this is how we find these findings. And they were weird, like, 4 people studies in, like, 2 week, like, weird, like I always see the claim where it's, like, more endurance-based.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you get more endurance from it.
Yeah.
And, like, there was one where they took girls doing 20-rep squats for 2 sessions. And they're like, they concluded that in 2 weeks that the girls had a greater endurance taking the BCAAs than the girls not taking BCAAs doing 20 rep squats over 4 sessions. I'm like,
that's not really an
effective test. And like, it was like, they did 3 sets of 20 squats, but this is what I don't get, right?
Mm.
They can control for so many variables in these like little studies that just kind of like marketing fluff, right? Yeah. Like, if you're feeding someone food in the middle of a workout, even if it's, like, just protein, isn't that calories for them to, you know, get a little pump on, right? When it comes to squatting, like, when it's endurance, right? Is that going to help?
Mm.
Like, it'd be like telling anyone, hey, take a drink of water. Or, like, no, like, not water, but, like, drink Gatorade between your lifts.
Yeah.
Like, all that stuff. So I'm like... plus, you know, they don't account for calories too, macros too. They don't account for anything. It's like, and also it was so small, random chance can win.
Yeah,
right. Like in research design, like she would always tell us, like you can't have a study like under like 20 people because it's just random chance.
And not only like the timing too, like how many sessions? 4.
4 in 2 weeks.
Validity of that just went out the window.
Oh yeah, you go to like the 0.1000 percentile, right? You just totally messed it up. So I think we've pretty much gone through all our topics. That was a good, healthy podcast. Just going to end it here, guys. Thank you again for, I think, the 6th or 7th one we're at, AJWD Live. Thank you, Javon, for coming on again. Hopefully, we'll have you on during the summer, in a little Skype session, have you in the corner right there when the whole studio is eventually set up. So thank you guys for watching. This will be archived on YouTube and soon on Anchor. That'll be cool. Apple News, Apple Podcast form and all the things coming up. We'll make an official statement coming up in the next 2 weeks about all the different platforms it's going to be on. So thank you guys for watching. It's been Nicholas and Javon again on Awakened Gains, signing out. Awakened Gains.